Excuse me, turn to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 12. Proverbs 12. I'm going to be looking today at Proverbs, one verse in Proverbs 12, verse number 25. One of the things that I look forward to most about heaven is the complete absence of anxiety. I mean, isn't that just a wonderful, glorious thought? To live in a place where there's no stress, to live forever in a place where there is no pressure, no fear, no concern that something might be lost or taken away from us, or that harm might come our way. A place of perfect, eternal blessedness and security. I look forward to heaven in that regard, more than any other regard besides seeing Jesus and being with Jesus. And being with Jesus will be the reason why heaven is a place free of anxiety. Amen? I mean, it's just a glorious thought. You know, we grieve when we lose loved ones, fellow Christians, to death when they die and pass from us. And yet in those times, we comfort ourselves, don't we, with the thought that not only is that departed saint now free of physical pain and physical suffering, but also that dearly departed loved brother or sister in Christ is now free from the emotional and spiritual heart sickness that so burdens earthly life. One of the best things about being with Jesus in that glorious eternal state must surely be the perfect peace and tranquility of the soul. The freedom from anxiety that will make heaven so heavenly is not something we're going to be able to experience fully and completely in this life. It's just not. But Scripture is clear, and I want to encourage you and remind you this morning that the Scripture is clear. God's people, even though we can't experience it fully, we can get a foretaste of that kind of peace and that kind of tranquility here in the earthly lives that we live. The old hymn, what does it say? Blessed assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If Jesus is ours by faith, if the hope of the resurrection is ours by faith, assurance through Jesus is the answer to anxiety. The wonderful collection of wise sayings that we have before us, known as the Book of Proverbs, contains just so many words of encouragement regarding anxiety and the release of anxiety to God. And one of them is found right here in chapter 12, verse 25, where Solomon says this. He says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Now, the older I get, the more I tend to believe that stating the obvious is a spiritual gift. So here we go. I'm going to exercise that spiritual gift with you this morning. These are anxious times. All right, you're welcome for that blessing of my spiritual gift of stating the obvious. These are anxious times, aren't they? We are living in anxious days. Now, whether the pandemic that we're experiencing here and around the world today has deepened pre-existing anxieties, or whether it is your main source of anxiety, let's agree on one thing this morning, that the reopening of America or the reopening of Ohio will not end our anxieties, okay? Can we agree on that? I mean, returning to jobs, returning to public gatherings, public worship services, returning to retail shopping, returning to eating out at restaurants instead of having to carry out food from restaurants. I mean, those things will ease anxiety for some, but they'll increase anxiety for others, won't they? It will ease anxiety in some areas of life, but it'll increase it in other areas of life. The same is true on the inverse side of that, of not just going back to work, back to business, back to retail and all that, but a prolonged quarantine. The same can be said. It will ease anxieties for some, and it will increase anxieties for others. So the situation we're in, when it ends, our anxieties aren't going to end. We can blame the media for amplifying social anxiety and doing so as just a means of reducing the media's own anxiety over being irrelevant. But let's face it. Let's be honest. Everyone with a blog, everyone with a Twitter account or a Facebook account is today a member of the media. If you use those platforms at all, you're a member of the media. You are contributing to a conversation in one way or another. You have a pulpit, as it were, to criticize, to gripe, to complain. Well, government's not doing enough. Or, well, government is just doing too much. Or, our governor's a coward. Or, our president's a tyrant. Listen, folks, I mean, I've heard it all. And you know what the saddest thing is? I've heard it all from Christians on social media. That's the most troubling thing about this for me, is that I see brothers and sisters in Christ, folks who I bet deep down don't want to be known ultimately by their friends and family for those opinions, just going off. And it's real. And I see not just fellow Christians, I see fellow pastors engaging in that business. And I don't think it's helpful. Christians living in anxious times, we've got to be careful that we don't self-sabotage our claim to peace that passes all understanding through Jesus, through turbocharged rhetoric on social media, whether it's on one side of the issue or other sides of the issues, on one side of decisions or policies that are beyond our control, or the other side. We just have to watch out for that. Reactions and rhetoric like that are most often just a signal, a sign of deep anxiety within our own hearts, within our own souls. Wherever you land on the anxiety spectrum today, high, low, somewhere in the middle, listen, I want the truth of this proverb to help us truly put on display the peace of the gospel, the peace that is only found through the gospel, the peace of knowing Jesus Christ. And I want it to be put on display for all of those around us, our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances, our coworkers, our friends on social media. I want us to just be radical exhibitors of the peace that comes through knowing Jesus. I believe we can get at this by looking at three things today. Number one, what anxiety is. Number two, what anxiety does. And number three, anxiety's antidote. What's the antidote? What's the answer to anxiety? So let's start by looking at what is anxiety. What is it? Now, I'm sure we all have a basic answer to that. We all have a basic understanding of what anxiety is. It's that stuff that ties up our mind. It's that stuff that ties our thoughts in knots. It colors everything with a dark, foreboding, dreadful outlook, right? It just kind of ties us up. And the Hebrew word for anxiety here means care. Means fear, heaviness, sorrow. The descriptive phrase that comes right after the word anxiety there, in the heart, or in a man, or in the inner man, as your English translation might have it, that proves something. That proves that anxiety, though anxiety might have outer causes and outward effects, anxiety is ultimately an inner condition, okay? It is an inner state of the soul. You know, your hands might shake. You might get anxious tremors in your hands when you're anxious, but your hands don't get anxious, all right? That's an outflow of something that's going on in the heart, in the soul. The king of Persia once asked his cupbearer, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? Why are you so downcast? This is just a sadness of the heart. Well, Jerusalem and its ruined state was the outer cause of Nehemiah's downcast disposition, right? And a downcast disposition was the outer display of that inner condition. But Nehemiah's anxiety was not an outer reality. It was an inner reality. See, when people were outside, enemies were taunting King David, saying, "Where's your God now? Where's your God now?" Over in Psalm 42, David asks the question two times, "Oh soul, why are you downcast? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" Now, I hope those examples from the Old Testament have shown you something, and that's this, that anxiety, like temptation, is not itself a sin, okay? Anxiety is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. I mean, Jesus was tempted. He never sinned. I'm sure at times in your life you've been tempted, and you have overcome that temptation with truth and have not sinned, but you were tempted to sin. You probably have been plagued with anxious thoughts, but yet at times you've overcome those anxious thoughts. That's what I'm trying to get at today, is that anxiety by itself is not necessarily a sin. Now, it's not the same exact Greek word for anxiety that describes Jesus in Gethsemane before his crucifixion, but Jesus' heart was certainly weighed down, right? If we were to use Solomon's description here, his heart was weighed down on the night before his crucifixion. He was heavy-hearted, so much so that he sweat drops of blood. Paul, the apostle, uses the Greek word for anxiety when he describes his daily concern or anxiety for all the churches over in 2 Corinthians 11:28. Solomon is not saying anxiety is a sin. He's just saying that it's a real condition. It's a real thing. It's a real condition of soul. So guess what? It's okay to be troubled. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be concerned and to be heavy-hearted about things. This is a broken world. There's a lot of wrong that's around us all the time, a lot of messed up messiness. And it's okay to be concerned about that. It's okay to be troubled by that. Anxiety is not a sin, but listen, like temptation, sin comes when we yield to it. Sin comes when we yield to anxiety, when we allow anxiety to dictate a new truth to us, right? We can't control much of what makes us anxious, but we can control our response. You see, unlike stating the obvious, which is a made-up spiritual gift, self-control is a real spiritual gift. Just go to Galatians 5 and read about it. You'll find it listed there. Self-control is the last, in fact, in the list of spiritual gifts, self-control. And that means that though we can't control circumstances, though we can't control the inputs that come from the outside in terms of circumstances and events and global events and often personal events, we can control our response to them. We can control what we allow those events and circumstances to say to us. And so, the question is, well, will we wring our hands or will we fold our hands when anxiety comes? Will we try to solve the problem or will we surrender the problem? You know, and listen, surrendering a problem does not mean that we give up on finding a solution. It means we don't rely on ourselves for it. That's what surrendering means. We don't try to get the credit. We don't try to get the glory for solving a problem. That's what anxiety is. It's a condition of soul that arises from circumstances beyond our control, and it's not a sin unless we give in to it. So what does anxiety do? According to Solomon, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. weighs him down. I love how the King James puts it. The King James Version is wonderfully graphic here. He says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. I'm just envisioning this person with an enormous baggage on his or her back. I think about Pilgrim's Progress and John Bunyan's description of the pilgrim Christian and his burden, this giant burden, bulky, heavy, burdensome, strapped on his back that he has to carry everywhere he goes. That's what anxiety is, and that's what it does. It makes us stoop. Think about anxieties as bricks. I brought a visual aid today. Think about your anxieties like a brick, right? Now, one brick isn't that big a deal. I mean, yeah, it's got some weight to it, but no big deal, right? I can sit here. I can get my exercise in today. I can do some curls with the brick. No big deal. One brick may not seem like a lot now, but an armload of bricks is another matter, okay? It will definitely make you stoop. And then if you try to add a second armload of bricks, you're going to be stooping. When I was young, I helped my grandpa build houses in the summers. He was a home builder, and where I came from, and my grandfather's had a particular bent towards brick houses. He was a bricklayer. He was a carpenter. He could do it all, but all of his houses were brick, and brick all the way around, not just a little bit on the front, but all brick houses. So when it came bricklaying time, my job with my grandfather was to get the bricks from the pallet that had been delivered off of the truck, to get those bricks from that pallet to the scaffold where he could actually do something with them and set them in place, right? Well, as a teenager, I mean, I had a lot to prove, okay? I thought I'd really impress him, and I tried to impress myself by just how many bricks I could carry at one time. All right. Finally, he had to scold me. I mean, not only was I risking injury to myself by carrying so many bricks, not only was I risking dropping those bricks and having them break and crack on the ground because I was trying to carry too much, but I was, all that time that I was taking trying to load both arms full of bricks just to be impressive, that was really just being a hindrance to the work that he was trying to do, the real work, right? The important work. It was just slowing down what he was trying to do, to build a house. You see, circumstances outside our control, they stir up anxious feelings within us. And they begin to tell us a story that goes something like this. This is heavy. This is heavy, but it's not that heavy, right? And you can carry this without breaking your back, right? You don't want people thinking you're weak, do you? You don't want people thinking you're a whiner, right? Don't be a complainer. Be a manager. Look how well you're managing your one brick. You can do the tuck carry. You can do the shot put carry. You can even do curls while you walk. Look how well you're handling that weight. Surely you can handle a couple more. Surely you can handle one in the other hand too. Maybe a couple in each hand. Every temptation and every anxiety tells at least two lies. And they're really one lie, just two sides of the same lie. One, you've got this. And two, and worse, God doesn't got it. God doesn't have it. You've got this. You can handle this. God doesn't have it. God is not going to handle this. Those are the two lies that every temptation, every anxious story tells us. In Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus answers those two lies with two key questions. You see, to the "you've got this" lie, He asks in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Jeremy read this earlier, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? That's really the key question, isn't it? That's just a brass tacks, get down to the real nitty-gritty of the issue question. Which of you can add, by worrying, a single hour to your life? Answer, nobody. And then to the God doesn't have this lie, he asks in Matthew 6, 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, none of us can add an hour to our life by worrying, by being anxious. And God does indeed have our best interest at heart. Just walk out your door on this spring day and look at a blade of grass. Just pluck one up and look at it. Just a plain old blade of grass. Or pluck up one of those little yellow dandelion starts. They're real pretty this time of year, but soon enough they're going to grow into ugly dandelion seed heads, right? But just pick one of those up and look at it. I mean, just look at it. Even an ugly old dandelion, if you look at that thing, there is deep intrinsic beauty there that God has designed. If God is willing to clothe grass and flowers and weeds with such glamorous apparel, if he's willing to clothe birds with such glorious feathers and wings, is he not then not more interested in us and our needs? He is. We're the ones he made in his image, not grass, not birds, us. The question that I've asked is, what does anxiety do? But I really think that a better question is, what does anxiety seek to undo? Right? Anxiety seeks to undo faith in God. Anxiety seeks to undo the contentment that should characterize God's people. Commitment to God in the form of contentment with what God has provided for us. What does Paul tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6? Godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. You may not get rich. You may not have the best clothes or the nicest car. But if you've got godliness, you're better off than those who don't have godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What does he say there at the end of Matthew chapter 6? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these temporal things, all these survival-oriented things, they'll all be supplied to you. Again, maybe not in abundant quantities, but in sufficient quantities. Maybe not top of the line this or that, but sufficient this or that. God will supply it. God knows your need. But here's what anxiety says. Anxiety says enough is not enough. Anxiety says enough is never enough. Deborah and I are watching a series on TV right now. It's called Turn. Some of you maybe have seen that show, watched it. It's about spies during the Revolutionary War. Benedict Arnold is a key figure in this story right now. Now his name is synonymous with treason. He was a traitor, right? He was an American who switched sides and began to work for the Brits during the Revolutionary War. And here's why. It wasn't that he loved England more than he loved America. It wasn't that he loved King George over General George Washington. No, it was that this American war hero, this general who won battles as an American for the colonies and who was respected by even George Washington himself, he loved himself most of all. That was the problem. You see, he was a wreck of anxiety. He was an absolute wreck of insecurity enough for Benedict Arnold was never enough. Enough glory in battle was never enough. Enough money, enough compensation for his soldiering was never enough. Enough respect from his peers was never enough. Self-interest was his undoing. Anxious discontent turned a hero into a traitor, turned a Joshua into a Judas. And listen, don't let anxious self-interest in the present cause you to betray a future that God is building. Anxiety unchecked will do it every time. Anxiety unchecked will undo you every time. So, what's the antidote? How do we check? How do we push back against anxiety? Solomon says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. So, what's a good word? Well, a good word is an appropriate word for the situation. It's a word that's needed. It's a word that's timely. A good word helps reorient the mind. It helps refocus the mind off of the false narrative of trusting ourselves because God can't be trusted with our concerns to the true story, the true narrative that our God sits on the throne, that our God knows our every need before we know it, and that our God values us far above anything else in creation, far above the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Solomon calls it a good word. What do we call the basic message of our Christian faith? What do we call it? It's the Bible word. The gospel, right? The gospel, the euangelion. That means good message. That's where we get our word evangelical. It means good message, good word. Solomon, all the way back in the book of Proverbs, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, said that the solution to anxiety is the gospel, is a good word, right? The antidote to anxiety for a Christian is the gospel. It's not a stress reduction seminar. It's not an anxiety management book. It's the gospel of Jesus. The good news that a Savior has come and has borne all of our griefs, as Isaiah 53 says, and has carried all our sorrows. So let me ask you, are you carrying armloads of anxiety today? Okay? Listen, you're not impressing the Lord. You're not impressing anybody else with that. That lesson my grandfather had to teach me back in the day about not carrying as many bricks as I possibly could. I learned that lesson with real bricks, but you know, my Heavenly Father now is still having to teach me the lesson of not trying to carry anxiety around, of trying to carry it and bear all the burden myself. It will make you stoop. Anxiety has made me stoop, and that's just stupid. Why would we, as those who've been bought by the blood of Jesus, those who have a Savior who went to Calvary's cross for us to take away the burden of our sin, to take away our need to carry all of those burdens, why would we still try to do so? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. You're not impressing the Lord, not impressing anyone else. I want you to set those bricks of burden down today at the feet of the Master who can actually build something meaningful and beautiful with them. Okay? Our concerns and our anxieties matter to God. They really do. God doesn't look up there. He's not up there rolling his eyes and looking at us when we're experiencing anxious times and thinking, oh, I wish they just wouldn't experience, I just wish they wouldn't be anxious. No, he knows we're going to experience those things. He knows those cares and concerns are going to come into our lives, but he's given us a solution. And that solution does not involve our own strength, does not involve our own power. It is his solution to that. He is the burden bearer, and he is the one who wants to take your anxieties and my anxieties and do something beautiful with them and build something beautiful and something eternal with them. They matter to God. You see, in love, God allows anxiety to come to us. He allows anxious things to come into our world to upend our equilibrium, to destabilize us when we are getting too stable in ourselves, right? It's grace that God gives to us. And why is that? It's to draw out and to purify our faith in Him. That's why. Because He loves us. He knows the best thing for us is to be trusting in Him every day. He wants us to not put any confidence in the flesh. So what did Paul do when the daily concern for all the churches threatened to unravel him and his apostolic ministry? What did he do? Well, he just turns around and he says to the Corinthians, "If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness." I've got all this concern, all this pressure, all this anxiety on me for the churches. Well, I'm just going to surrender that to the Lord. And it's okay if I come off looking like a weakling, because I know that He isn't. When anxiety threatened Jesus' mission of redemption there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He do? He prayed. He said, "Not my will, but Thine be done. Father, I'll be content with the cross. What You're building matters more and will last far longer than my momentary comfort and safety. Thy will be done." These are our examples. These and many others in Scripture are our examples of how to turn the tide on anxiety, how to reorient our lives to the true story that God is a gracious God who wants to carry and bear our burdens, and away from the false story of "you got this, God doesn't care for you." And so today I want us to renew our faith by ridding ourselves of today's burdens. We can do it again tomorrow, right? We can just carry today's burdens to the Lord and place them at His feet. He'll do something with them. He'll do what needs to be done with them. We don't need to carry them. We don't need to be stooped low under the burden of anxiety. And then tomorrow, we can do the same thing. What does the Bible say? "Be anxious not for tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough anxiousness of its own." Let's just do what we need to do today with the anxieties that are there weighing us down in our hearts today. Let's take those things to the Lord. Now, perhaps you're watching this and you've never unburdened yourself. So much of this message is for Christians as a reminder, hey, Christian, don't carry what you're not meant to carry. But listen, maybe you've never fully unburdened yourself of anxiety by trusting in Jesus. And that is what you need to do today. God didn't design humans to sin, but He knew that we would sin, and He knew that that sin would saddle the whole world with anxiety. But praise God, He had a plan all along, and that plan was to remove that burden of anxiety from us by His Son, so that we could know real peace, so that we could know peace both now and ultimately for all eternity. And so my hope for you today, if that's you, would be that you would say yes to Jesus, would be that you would confess your sin, just acknowledge before God, agree with Him that you are a sinner in need of rescue, and acknowledge by doing so that God is the one who is fully capable of carrying your burden of anxiety, the things that you're worried about. Just turn them over to Him. Just set them down at His feet. To not do so is to say you can do a better job managing your anxieties, your fears, your concerns, your worries than He can. And brother, sister, friend, that's false. That's false. We have a job to do in this world. My job years ago helping my grandfather was to get bricks to his hands. Not to try to impress Him, not to try to impress myself or anyone else. It was simply to get the bricks to His hand. Little by little, bit by bit, brick by brick, every day, day after day, I would carry those bricks. Once I learned my lesson about not trying to carry too many, the work got a lot easier. The flow got a lot smoother. Your life can be easier. It can be a less burdened life if you'll surrender your anxieties to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come before your word and be taught, be reminded that we don't have to live under the burden of anxiety. That even though anxious things will come our way, concerns will come our way, fears will at times afflict us, we don't have to believe the false story that they tell us, that we can control it and that you don't care. We have your word which assures us you do. We have your word which assures us we can't control these things. And Lord, we thank you that through the cross of Jesus, we see the ultimate bearing of our burdens of anxiety. And I pray, Lord, for everyone who's listening today that we would yield, we would surrender each day our cares and our concerns to you. As the Apostle Peter says in his first epistle, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. And thank you for carrying our burdens. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Let's close with a song today before we transition to our Zoom call. I hope you see the link there, and I hope you will take a few moments to join us today. We're going to sing another hymn that I hope will be an encouragement to you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, yeah. This is my song. Oh, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, yes, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. All is at rest. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Sing, this is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Lord, again we thank you. Thank you that we have such blessed assurance as the antidote to anxiety. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness. We thank you that all things we can come bearing to you, knowing that you will carry them more perfectly than we ever could. So, Lord, give us that hope. Give us that lightness of spirit as we go back out into the world this week. As we engage, help us, Lord, to engage as hopeful people, the most hopeful people of all, in a world that is full of anxiety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We're going to transition to our Zoom call now. I hope you have an awesome rest of this Lord's Day today. Goodbye.